This is what's gonna. This is like when Tony Reality worships that boy to the host.
You on the phone
around the horn. This is our big moment. This is our big moment.
Oh no, nah, she's moved. Oh,
she's frustrated.
Yes.
She's frustrated.
Hey, Monica. Nothing.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, this is always a great way to start the show with tech issues and sound checks. Eventually, we might be joined by Monica.
I'm Dominique. That's Jacoby. That is Monica, the mime, I guess, for the show. Alabaster's Monica? Tiny hand. Let's do it. I needed this. I was grumpy, but I needed Monica's tech issues to give me life. And now I'm excited. I love a little curveball in the afternoon.
Oh,
it's
she's
working
back.
Now? Is she back? Nope. All right, let's get to this first topic. Let's get to this first topic
that's
so we can get one in without
works.
Monica.
That is so not what can... the universal sign of thumbs up is supposed to indicate, Monica, like that.
Yeah, she doesn't understand thumbs up.
All right. Well, we can start with the first topic, and good thing we have
can
noted basketball expert Dominique Foxworth hosting, and Monica McNutt
can't hear us. I heard the music, but I can't hear you. This is the worst.
Oh, now she's just going to mumble through her sound issues while we're trying to introduce the first topic.
I know you're trying to mock me. I know you're trying to mock me, Alabaster, but my basketball expertise has been proven legitimate.
Over and over again. The Lakers are scary. We'll get there. All right, moving on. First topic. What was the most memorable part of Ja Morant's performance last night? His dunk, his buzzer beater, or dropping 52?
You got it first, Jacoby, since I'm the real basketball expert.
I'm going to start with a curveball. None of this. What I found most memorable about this was the camaraderie of the team at the end of the game. Like, they were dragging that man to 50 points. Like, it was a collective. This Grizzlies team is really just juntos. They're just on the same page. And they saw that something special was happening, and everyone put their ego to the side, their own thoughts and desires of their own stat lines to the side, and they made him get 50 points with hustle plays and with giving him the ball. And it really felt like in that pose at the end when he's got the 5-0 up and they're all kind of posing like a have you ever seen a football player in the NFL get a turnover? Have you ever seen that happen?
Yeah, they do once or twice. I've seen it every now and then.
But there's this new thing the past 3 years where we all do a group photo in the end zone. And it had that kind of vibe. Like, what really impressed me and was most memorable to me is just like the togetherness of this team and how they all ride for each other so hard. And there's one star. Let's be honest, Jaren Jackson Jr. is a good player. They got a bunch of good role models, but there's one star.
That's the point, though. Like, it's hard not to ride for him when he is clearly the one guy there. There's nobody else to pull it off. It's not a Kobe Shaq situation going on down there. We all ride for each other like we are riding for Monica right now, because she is riding on our backs because she's contributing nothing but her pretty face. We need some words from her at some point. Can we hear her yet? No? Good. All right. So it sounded like you were about to say 50 Cent. Like, did you say
what he does a slip up? We're going to get to that
later.
No,
no,
I'm
no,
sure,
no.
I'm sure we're going to talk about the game and Dr. Dre and what's going on at Drink Champs later in the show. I'm sure that's going to make the rundown.
I was going to say that might have been like a good slip, because that's what it feels like. The rest of them are G Unit. Like, none of them are really that impressive.
Whoa. Well, I'm not going to let you say that about my man Lloyd Banks.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say Lloyd Banks.
The three at the
I don't know if
y'all
can hear me, but I can't hear you. But this is the most impressive part. I'm just going to use my board.
We can hear you, though. Like, this is the thing.
We can hear you.
She doesn't know what's going on at all.
She doesn't have AirPods in. That's the only problem. It's like, sometimes tech is complicated. Sometimes, like, put some headphones in and you'll be able to hear us.
I mean, I think the 52 points was most impressive because it encompasses everything. But I think we got some clips from last night. Can we show the dunk first? Like,
rebound by Adams, his sixth.
Look at the left elbow. Look at the left elbow just go right to the jaw. That is rude. As a slow, big white guy, this hurts my feelings.
That is
That wasn't the only time he scored on Poto. Like, there were so many times that when I watched the highlights of all of his points, I was like, it seems like he scored the vast majority of them on this one dude, poor Jakob Poto.
I wanted to commiserate with you over seeing their togetherness, but I watched it all this morning, so I didn't see all the togetherness. I just saw Ja cooking at every, and it was like an efficient 52. Also, like, he was hitting threes from everywhere on the floor, deep shots. What he was doing was impressive. I do think we need to show the buzzer beater, though, which I'm not sure that Ja was the most impressive part of this buzzer beater.
Oh, thank you. Look at Steven Adams with the vision.
That
like
gun,
the Washington dude? Commanders are looking at Steven Adams like, I don't know.
Accuracy? He could see over the line?
He pointed, too. I don't know if you see it, but then he points, and Ja, on his ISO camera, puts his hand up like a receiver. You know what? I'm glad that we're celebrating Steven Adams part of this, because everyone's going to talk about Ja Morant, but Steven Adams, you know, it takes a quarterback to make a great throw for a receiver to make a great play like that.
He wasn't under pressure, though. We'll see what happens when they send a blitz package at old Steven Adams. He might crumble under the pressure. But I do think that one of the things that I notice sometimes is it seems like we go back to, like, simple times in sports where there was one kid that was better than the rest of the kids. And Ja feels like that guy where they're like, we know what he's going to do, but he's so much faster, quicker, more explosive than us, and more skilled also. Somehow he splits the double team, like, consistently.
Easily.
And I've tried to do that while playing basketball. And, like, I'm not playing against NBA-level talent, and I'm a decent athlete. Like, it feels like it's impossible. The amount of, like, explosiveness that you have to threaten them enough to open up the seam there and then cut through it. What we got here? Jacqueline Bridgewater.
Wait.
Needed.
You can talk, Monica.
He wasn't needed last night. But in general, he's a wonderful guard.
Yeah.
Thank you. Not just Monica. A highlight guy.
With a heart, too. We appreciate the heart, the extra little spice there. Alabaster, you had an interjection?
Yeah. I was just going to say, this is like the most modest I've ever heard you, Dominique, when you called yourself a decent athlete. You're an exceptional athlete, but I just want to point that out. Rare Dominique Foxworth modesty.
Proceed. No. I like to be honest. I'm talking about at this point in my life, I'm a decent athlete. Like, compared to Ja Morant, I consider myself a decent athlete.
I like that. I like where you set the bar. Like the most athletic human being in sports right now. And then you're like, I'm not at that level, but slightly below that. That's where you would find my athleticism.
My athleticism, Ja and I were neck and neck. But right now,
I've played basketball with you before, Dominique. You can hoop. You can play. You can split a double team. You can split a double team.
I can't, though. That's the thing. I've tried it before. It's really hard to do. I don't know if it's ball handling or if it's just the explosiveness, but that thing, that's the thing that he does consistently, I guess, also dunking on people consistently.
For me, it is. He gets around his man at will, and the help defender is just absolutely hopeless. Because when Ja Morant sizes up the help, where it's coming from, where they're leaning, he can go up and around using those long arms. He also creates a lot of contact for someone of his size. He'll put a shoulder into you and then use that momentum to get a little and one. And his finishing is only rivaled by like a Steph or a Kyrie. Around the basket, there are efficiency and volume numbers about how often and how efficient he is shooting around the basket that make you feel like he is a much bigger player, like a center, like someone who just catches lobs, like Clint Capella. He's got that kind of efficiency and volume around the basket.
We got this year. We got maybe two more seasons that we are allowed to enjoy this, and I would like to lean in and really enjoy it, because after that, then all the jerks are going to come out and talk about how he can't take him to the finals.
Oh, yeah.
Or he hasn't won a championship. And then after that, three to four years after that, he's going to lose some level of athleticism. He's going to have to morph his game into something different. So, like, we really should, and I'm ashamed of myself that I didn't watch last night's game, but I'm going to watch a lot more Ja Morant coming up, because there is going to come a time when Ja Morant's career is going to be somewhat spoiled. Because he's going to hear all of us talking about all this foolishness about you got to win a championship. Can he get past the second round? Blah, 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 blah. And it's going to impact his game. And then at some point, he's going to lose his athleticism. And he's going to turn to the fadeaway jumpers. And when he attracts the help defender, he's going to pass it off rather than bang on him. Like, all that stuff is coming. And I just want to warn everyone to enjoy it while it's here.
Grumpy Dominique. Dominique, for those of us tuning in now, he said he was grumpy. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to spin this positive. I'm going to be a positron to your negatron. Here's what's so nice about Ja Morant's current situation. Okay? I looked up the salaries. Only Steven Adams makes over $10 million, right? Most of these players are on their rookie deal. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s extension kicks in next year. Ja Morant's going to start picking up too. But those are two players that you're happy to pay the salaries they've got. They're not bogged down by salaries because they develop from within so well with Bain and with Brooks. Brooks is hurt. Like, one of their best players, Brooks shoots as much as Ja Morant. And no one talks about the fact that he's missing. We talk about Jamal Murray all the time. And what if that was happening? We talk about people that are missing from the Nets constantly all season long. But no one talks about that. And enjoy this now, but you see often a player take a leap like this, and then teams say, we need to put the right pieces around him. Like Luka did this, and they decided the right piece was Kristaps Porzingis. Maybe a miscalculation. But then they realized it was a miscalculation, and they brought in Dinwiddie and Bertans to try to get off of them. I think that with like two or three good roster moves, they can really put something around him that will get him from, oh, it'd be nice if we got to the second round, to we need to be in the finals, because that's where they are. They're a game behind the Warriors, and I think Chris Paul has enough of an the Suns have enough of a cushion to hold on to that number one spot, but they could definitely be in the number two spot easily.
I think their style of play is really impressive right now. Them and I don't know, I cover football more than basketball, but I do think that basketball actually playoffs, it actually changes. We make a whole bunch about like how football now it's playoff football. Nah, playoff football is the same thing. You got a whole week to prepare. Maybe it's a little bit more intense, but it's the same thing. But playoff basketball actually is a different game. So we'll see how Ja Morant adjusts to that when a team is not just coming off a back-to-back or just like, all right, we're in Memphis, let's get a win. When they're like, all right, this is what Ja does well, let's take that away. Because presumably they'll have – most teams will have enough athletes to force Ja Morant or the Grizzly to find some other way to beat them. So that's the next step for Ja Morant. I refuse to be critical of him at any point. I'll leave that up to the basketball nerds like you, David, who are going to come out here and tell us how he's not that efficient, even though he's efficient as hell, too.
No, he is. I mean, I think you could point to his game and say he shoots 34% from three, which is, you know, I mean, you'd like someone who has the ball as much as he does to shoot a little bit better from three, but it's not like he's putting up 7 or 8 a game. I think he only put up 4 last night and got to 52 points. Like, he is an extremely impressive star, and I think the one you've got the right idea is, like, let's track how this goes. This is the breakout year. This is the, okay, now you're an all-NBA player, now you're a superstar, now you're in a conversation of one of the best in your position. Now it turns to team success and playoff success. Last year, they were in the playoffs.
We got you.
Am I here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hooray.
Hey, Monica McNutt joins the show, everybody.
We've only been
bringing someone new in partway through. This is great. This is like a late night talk show.
We've only been doing this.
I'm gonna go to
the
second position
on
the couch. Now you can talk to Monica.
It's fine. Ja, okay, I do want to chime in. I do think playoffs are going to be interesting. However, I think
ladies and gentlemen, Monica McNutt.
First!
You made a great point. The playoffs are going to be interesting. You're right. The playoffs are going to be interesting. That's a fact.
Period.
It's a fact.
Good job.
I do think that we focus a lot on Ja, but don't forget how the depth of that roster in terms of guys that can help alleviate pressure off of him. And he won't necessarily have to score. Like, he doesn't shoot threes a ton. But remember, I keep going back to that playing game in terms of his basketball IQ. He does a great job of reading what the game needs and allowing what the defense gives him to dictate what he's going to do. Jaren Jackson is a stud in this league. Like, Shlomo Kyle.
Yeah. I like the dramatic pauses.
Yeah, these are great.
He can hit timely baskets. Hopefully Dylan Brooks gets healthy. And Desmond Bane, y'all, I think we're going to be talking about Desmond Bane in a completely separate category apart from Ja over the next 2 years. So I think when you talk about Memphis, yes, Ja is the highlight, but that's not where it stops.
All right. Well, you need to holler at Comcast. Is that who you got?
Yeah, Xfinity? You need me to send them a request. I'll get Spectrum right now. I'll get them over there.
Yeah. I mean, this is unfortunate. You got to go for the top of the line plan. Stop trying to cut corners.
And she's frozen again.
I know.
I'm not frozen. I'm moving.
You cutting corners. Did you turn off your Xbox? Your cell phone off?
Oh,
goodness.
You got to get on the line with Spectrum.
Alabaster, what you got for us?
Well, I have a question for Monica as I'm talking.
We all have questions for Monica.
So I'm going to ask it to you guys, and we can go sort of around the group on this one, which is, okay, we are sort of talking about Memphis like their window is in the future. And my question is why? The West is more wide open than it's ever been. Outside of Jokic, Ja Morant might be the best player in the Western Conference this season. Their roster is incredibly deep. Jaren Jackson makes it so there's not free layups at the rim. Why can't they win the West now? We thought that about the Derrick Rose Bulls in 2011. Like, why not now?
Quickly, before my connection disrupts. You know what? I actually said that this morning on another program. Like, their ceiling in terms of getting to the finals is now. Like, I know Draymond's a huge part of what the Warriors do, but a back injury isn't something that is like, oh, he's durable necessarily. You know what I'm saying? He's a box out away from having another issue.
I still take Phoenix out of the West, but there's a legit path to me for the Grizzlies to get to the finals. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not just Ja.
I think that's it's fair to say there's a path for them to get to the finals, but it's not they play great basketball, so I have them getting to the finals. That, to me, is the Phoenix Suns. And we can talk about Chris Paul's health. He's on track to get back for the playoffs. And we remember he couldn't even lift his arm, or he couldn't lift his hand over his head. And he still beat the Lakers in that series and took them to the finals. So for me, yes, there is a path for them to get to the finals, but it's not Ja Morant puts him on the back and Jaren Jackson takes a leap and Desmond Bane shoots 50% from three. It is if this team isn't healthy, if that team isn't healthy, if the playing games go a certain way, that's how they get there. So, yes, they can get there, but it comes with caveats, whereas the Phoenix Suns, my favorite to come out of the West, they just need to play the Phoenix Suns basketball and be healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you could point to aberrations where this has happened, but I mean, all the years that we've been watching basketball and all the years I've listened to people talk about basketball, they always tell the story of how you have to make a run first before you go to the finals. Like that experience in the NBA players and in the NBA playoffs matters somehow. I don't understand completely how it matters, but it seems to always matter. And as good as deep as their roster is, it's something that's fun to talk about. But I'm not sure how much depth matters as much as like roster flexibility matters, because don't like the depth, I guess the rotations get tighter in the playoffs. You don't like give minutes to all those people. If you're able to adjust, and I'm not sure that they have the length to have that roster flexibility. So while this team is a really impressive regular season team, I'm not sure that they are seasoned or built to make a deep playoff run. If not, it's possible because they have Ja Morant and they're that talented and other things could go wrong, but they shouldn't be considered the favorites in my view.
Favorites is aggressive, but all I'm saying is.
That's what you say? I appreciate it. That's all you're
saying. What are we saying now?
This is the word. Oh my God. Nobody saw Phoenix doing what they did last year either.
When me and Dominique talk for like 90 seconds of nonsense, your connection is perfect. And the second we toss to you, you get like half a syllable out and then it just freezes. It happens every time.
God. Had some
terrible upload speeds. Get it together. Foolishness. So did you want to try to get it in, or are we just going to move on? What?
Let's move on.
We'll move on. But shout out to you, Monica, for bringing up Desmond Bane. You know, fan favorite of NBA Twitter and someone who
How
deserves some shine.
Oh, so disrespectful. Jacoby didn't bring it up at the first time he spoke.
He doesn't listen to me. But if I could time travel back to September Jacoby and be like, Desmond Bane is going to be a huge piece of the Western Conference power balance, I would be like, Bane from Batman? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you have to, like, be honest about how well you know these rosters. And Desmond Bane was not on my radar in September the way he is now as we head into March.
So, you've adopted as we move on. A moment of honesty.
I can't think of any other Bane lines.
That's a pretty bad Bane.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's all you got to do. I Baned it. That was what was missing from my impersonation was the old shoulder pad grab.
there it is.
Whoa. How did you do that?
Nailed
Bring
it.
Back Jacoby. I'll pay the ransom, Bane. Release David Jacoby immediately.
Nailed it.
All right. You guys ready to talk about the Heat?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, they've won 9 of 10. They're 2 games up on the Bulls in the East. And our question is, how do you view the Heat compared to the other top teams in the East? They aren't quite as star heavy as the Nets or 76ers.
Jacoby?
This is great. Well, I watched this game and I kept waiting for the Bulls to come back. I'm like, the Bulls
were
the top two teams in the East. Let me get my popcorn. Let me put the kids to bed. Let me just really just sit down and watch this game tight. And it just never happened. I mean, they made light work of the Bulls. And Bam Adebayo is back to being Bam Adebayo from the bubble. And listen, again, like Desmond Bane, I'm not going to sit here and speak into this microphone and look at this camera and act like Struess, Yurt 7, and like Gabe Vincent were like on my radar. Like I was like, oh, watch out for the Heat this year. There's a guy named Yurt 7 who's going
to
really contribute.
Gabe Vincent. Let's go.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to act like I really thought that these would be contributing players to the number one team in the Eastern Conference. Yet here we are. And it's not, because the Nets and the Sixers had their little problems and injuries and bad vibes. This team is playing great team defense and offense. And sometimes you have to look at it like this to make a football reference is they're just well coached. Like, they develop their players, and they probably have the best coach in the Eastern Conference. That's hard to argue.
That's a great instinct for you to know to go to the opposite side. You are a debatable pro. I would like to chime in before we go to Monica and say, I thought I heard someone say shout out to the Georgetown Hoyas who are currently 0-17 in conference play.
It's 18 and
ooh, my bad. My bad.
Your 7 shout out was a Hoyas, Patrick. So I'm gonna take that.
Is this like spades? Can you just go lose them all and then you get extra points? Is that how it works? I haven't played spades in a while. She's not even frozen. That's not even her connection. That's her heart.
It is my heart. It's breaking. Golly.
Shout out, Patty. You.
It's tough. It's hard times out here. Dark times. Am I talking?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
So I think the thing with the Heat that is most intriguing, particularly if they run into the 76ers, is how well they're able to defend like pick and roll. And not that James and Embiid are going to run traditional pick and roll, but not just Bam Adebayo, but him as the anchor. The rest of that team's commitment to defense to me is impressive. And I don't know what it is. I know they got swept by the Bucks at one point, but I swear to you, something about the Heat and the Bucks, like the Heat are just, they are one of the teams best equipped to match up with them.
I think Jacoby has something important to say, or he's trying to become an American citizen. I'm not sure what was happening.
I saw a play last night. It was a pick and roll play where Bam Adebayo was guarding the roll guy. He switches onto the ball handler. He's fully switched onto the ball handler.
Yep.
Ball handler throws a lob to his man. He retreats back and intercepts the lob before it even gets to the role player, the role man. Now, I'm not going to say this has never happened in the history of the NBA, but I don't think I've ever seen it before. Maybe Giannis can do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Giannis did something like that in the finals last year.
Yeah, but it was honestly like rushing the quarterback and turning him around and intercepting the ball 10 yards downfield. That's what it felt like.
I mean, I think the Heat and the 76ers is an interesting matchup because they seem to fit well. Like the two biggest stars presumably kind of will be across from each other. And if there is anybody that can slow Embiid, which I guess the answer to that is no, there isn't anybody, it would be Bam, because Bam, like, he gave Giannis some trouble, but I guess Giannis isn't as skilled as Embiid. So it's as excited as I am for the Heat, and we talked about how the playoffs are different and coaching matters a lot in the NBA playoffs, and they have Spo. As excited as I am for the Heat, it's hard because when Giannis or Embiid or somebody steps out there, as good as Bam is defensively, I think that it's a net positive for the opponent and not for the Heat.
I hear you on that, and I think Bam obviously is a very important part of that, but I actually look at the James Harden, Jimmy Butler matchup. Like, if James doesn't find a defensive commitment, you know what I'm saying? Like, teams are going to go right at him in the pick and roll. And, like, right. I trust Jimmy to get it going on the defensive end of the ball as opposed to just one side. So, I'm just – this that could be a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm gonna agree and disagree with both of you. Dominique, I think Bam is one of the few players in the league that I would feel comfortable guarding Giannis. However, Mr. Deadman, who plays behind him, you know, Bam's not going to play 48 minutes, and there's a pretty big drop-off, especially athletically, defensively, between those two. And the Jimmy thing is, like, I can't get it out of my head that game five. Remember game five in the bubble? Yeah. In the finals, when he went toe-to-toe with LeBron, and just like, that was a single-handed performance where he's like, I'm not letting this team lose. Now, granted, game six, he did let them lose, but that I was just, I was sitting there watching that game with my jaw open, just like, am I watching like someone make the real superstar leap? Like, am I watching someone go toe-to-toe with LeBron?
And what was the answer? And what was the answer to that?
No, actually.
Okay, so that's the hard part.
The answer was no.
That's the hard part. It's like no one believes that he's going to be able to do it again or do it multiple times. And also,
but you had to look at the whole team there. Like, I mean, the Lakers were built to win. Like, that's – he took a lead.
Important, Monica. I'm sorry to cut you off. But if your last name is going to be Deadman, you got to be good at defense. You can't.
Very important.
First of all, important. We're leading that thought with important, Monica.
Very
sorry important. To cut you off.
It is. Like, it is. I mean, that's
internet.
Must be said.
I'm make a
don't
bunch
waste
of
my internet connection
last name.
Must be said. You can't be bad at defense and have the last name Deadman, because that's what they're yelling. As soon as you come out, they're pointing at you, Deadman. And then if it happens,
tough. It's tough.
Very tough.
I mean, as a cornerback, I can relate. I would have changed my last name if it was like Toasty or something.
Well, can I answer the question below? Producer, check. I want to answer the question below because I don't want to overreact to the 76ers after two games with James Harden. But I'm definitely going to overreact to the 76ers after two games with James Harden. Granted, they did play the trash Knicks and the Timberwolves, who are much better this year than last year. But, man, like, there was cohesion there. There was chemistry there. Now, I know this just might be first date James Harden, who, like, has a track record of kind of being on his best behavior when he first puts on a new uniform. But these two games from them, and they don't play again for a while. I think they play the Knicks again on Wednesday, so we can overreact to that on Thursday. But, like, they look really good. Just the way that those two play together looked really good to me. So I would pick them over the Sixers in a 7-game series against the Heat right now.
Nah.
That's it?
Great analysis.
Nah. I think that we're all too in love. Like, I just, nah. First of all, Joel has to stay on the floor, right? Like, if they don't get DeAndre Jordan, there's really no backup for him, essentially, any longer. Mm. You lose Seth Curry. So, to me, Tyrese Maxey is benefiting from the presence of James Harden. But he don't shoot the ball the way Curry did. Tobias Harris, we're still waiting for him to find his stride. Maybe he could be the absolute X factor. But, nah. I think I actually would take the Heat. Why not? Mayhem.
Mayhem, I mean, sure. Alabaster, be aggressive with your, like, the tentative sign.
I know, I walked him off that. Like, I appreciate that, Alabaster. Thank you, Alabaster.
Yeah. But, like, this, like, half, no.
Where's the thing
down? No, I appreciate you, Alabaster.
We went down a rabbit hole of Bam Adebayo being a good matchup for Giannis and a good defender for Giannis. Not the case. When the Bucks swept the Heat last year, Giannis had, you know, a paltry 24-15-8 against Bam as the primary defender in a 4-game
But he made it work.
When they annihilated. Furthermore, Jimmy Butler, who were, you know, anointing the next Jordan, he's shooting under 20% from three this year. Duncan Robinson can't find a bucket either. Like, in the bubble, they all shot out of their minds like the Lakers. But this Heat team is going to have to hit jump shots to play, like, an interior strong team like the Bucks or 76ers in the playoffs. Are we sure they can do that?
How's Tyler Hero playing these days?
I know he's great.
He's been playing well
the last, like, month and a half. But his outfits have been. Ooh, yeah. You see that yesterday? Yeah. The leather shorts with the baseball top and the sunglasses.
Man,
it's a different generation.
So I know, Jacoby. When we were young, do you think that like someone who was in their 40s looked at what we had on and was like, "Hey, that's cool."
No,
like, I think that's just what's happening. It's like we have passed into the part of our lives where anything that the young people do that's different, we accept that it's, or we pretend that it's terrible when they are the ones who decide what's cool. Like,
oh yeah,
Tyler Hero's much cooler than us.
I thought he looked good. I would never wear anything that any of these NBA players wear, but I thought it looked good. I like the fit. I like the shoes.
Could you pull it off, though? I know you wouldn't choose to pull it off, but, like,
do a catwalk? Well, not catwalk, but an entry walk with you guys in some of their fits. Like, we need that on debate.
It's all about the confidence.
It is.
Like, this show can't even get you an internet connection. You think they're spending $10,000 on an outfit for 30 seconds of content?
And first of all, you're not spending $10,000 on it. You're going to the thrift store and doing the best.
Yeah, we got to get the Zara brand.
Duh.
Like, we do it for cheap. Don't they do that in, like, People Magazine?
That's
they,
a
like,
show.
Put up,
the look for less.
Like, hey, yeah, we got to go to, I splurge in Zara and Rainbow.
There's Rainbow. Something about Tyler Hero
you remember Rainbow?
And Duncan Robinson. I just really enjoy it. There's something about those two players. I can't really figure out exactly what it is. I just really love this. It's their game, their commitment to the game.
Crafty.
You know what I mean?
Crafty. Yeah. They're crafty, deceptively quick. And the shooters, as soon as they walk in the gym, shooter.
Oh, yeah. They're the gym rats. Gym rats. Got a lot of time.
Did you have a rainbow in the mall close to you, Jacoby, when you were growing up?
No.
You didn't have a rainbow?
Didn't have a rainbow. I'm older than you guys. Shout out to Orange Julius, though. We had those.
Oh, Orange Julius. That was universal.
Mm-hmm. Also, is not a the food pretzel place. Is where you go. It's like, it was like Zara before Zara. It's like you could get a whole outfit for your girlfriend for $13.
I was going to say, I don't even know if it's on the same level as Zara, because Zara's got a look.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, here we go.
All right, guys, you ready for a round of What Are the Chances?
Sure.
Great. We'll play you a clip. You tell us the chances. First one, and actually the only one. What are the chances this pass cost DeAndre Jordan his job?
Show the pass. Oh, hey now.
This is not DeAndre Jordan's fault, all right? When DeAndre Jordan, all 7'4" DeAndre Jordan has to look around and then take three dribbles like, this isn't my job, guys. This isn't my job. How about one of you little people runs to me and gets this ball out of my hands? So this is not on DeAndre Jordan. So I'm going to say this did not affect his standing.
Oh, they did sign a little guy. There you go. They replaced him. I don't think that's the reason why he lost his job, but it has to hurt to get cut from this team. This team that, like, is a bottom-dwelling team at this point. They seem to be getting worse and worse. For them to look at you and be like, you know what? You're not good enough to be here. Like, that just feels like
you're too old. With Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James look at you and be like, dog, you're too old.
Russell Westbrook looks over and says, hey, you turned the ball over too much. That turnover right there,
that's awesome. The last one.
You got to go.
Then I honestly, like, I kept turning to this game because I wasn't sitting and watching. And I was like, is that another turnover? That one? I was like, oh, no. Come on now. Oh, wow. This is ridiculous. They threw the ball all over the gym, for real.
I don't know how the physics work on that pass. I think he was trying to pass it outside of the arena. We've all been to Staples, Crypto, whatever. Like, there are tunnels there. You're throwing it to, like, you know, to Jack Nicholson's special bathroom.
I mean, he was basically just joining what the whole team was doing, though, too. Like, you get one, I get one, you know.
I appreciate that none of us respected the question.
No.
We all answered it yes or no and didn't give him a percentage that he wanted. No. There you go. Good, powerful interjection placement right there. Come in strong. Chest out.
I got three things to interject. First one. That's an all-time hot take, Jacoby. He threw that ball into the 10th row and you said it wasn't his fault.
Second of all. Play it again. Look, he's got the ball in his hands. He's looking around. He's looking around the guys.
Okay. Look where this ball lands.
He hasn't dribbled in 4 years. He doesn't even know the rules. He's like, wait, what? How do I do this?
No, this turnover in that, y'all don't understand, that ball was going to everybody but people in Lakers jerseys the entire game. Like, this is the most fitting turnover of the ball game.
Man, all right, what else you got for us, Alabaster?
Second rejection. DJ Augustine actually makes the Lakers older. He is older than DeAndre Jordan. They signed the one guy to make their average roster age older. And the third thing, I have a question for you, Dominique. Does this make the Lakers scarier now that they have DJ Augustine instead of DeAndre Jordan? Are they still the team that no one wants to see in the first round?
Never said they're the team that no one wants to see, but I did say that they're a team that you would not want to bet against. I stand by that. Well, they are still a team that you don't want to bet against if AD is healthy. Like, I recognize that they're not good. I know that they stink, but the point is, they have a track record. They just won a championship a couple years ago. If you see them in the first round, you're going to be like, this sucks. If they're healthy, that's a reasonable take. You're going to keep throwing it in my face like AD is currently healthy and like LeBron James is not still LeBron James. That's fine.
That's fair. I think what this is, if they get out of the play-in, they may have to win two play-in games, which is wild to me. But let's imagine that happens. I'm not excited if I'm the Warriors or the Suns or the Grizzlies. Would I pick the Lakers to upset those teams? No, but like, this is my reward for having literally the best record in the NBA. This is my reward, is I get to play against three players that are all going to the Hall of Fame. Four, if you include DJ Augustine.
I hear you, if you include DJ Augustine. I hear you in terms of being a one seed and that's your reward, but ultimately, like, the margin for error.
Yes, I like it. Nailed that take. Get them. Monica, so much knowledge right there.
I quit.
He's filling us up.
It's always once you start ramping up and get going.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a computer today.
It's perfectly timed every time. Issues,
computer's fine. The second you start ramping up for a great take, it just freezes.
It's timing is always perfect. Right now, there's no freezing right now. You're just talking.
Because I have nothing to say.
No freezing. As soon as you try to get into it.
I quit.
It's just too much. Let me take another
for you, because I was also the like puncher's chance guy. Listen, when you've got these superstars, playoff basketball changes. Like, I went down that mental exercise, and I believed in the Lakers until about 3 weeks ago. But you're still there. You're still with this like puncher's chance.
You believe in LeBron versus the Lakers is different.
I don't believe in the Lakers, and Alabaster keeps trying to throw this on me. My point is a fair one, and I stand by it. It's the same point that you made. It's like the betting odds on a series with a healthy AD and LeBron are going to be much worse than you would expect them to be for a team with that record, because we all recognize that those guys have ability that they have not tapped into so far this season. Put your finger down.
No,
betting odds are now 50-1 for the Lakers to win the title. The betting odds are not different for a team with LeBron James.
Wait till we get to the playoffs.
I have a question for Monica, and I'm going to ask you the same thing, Dominique. If it was number one seed gets to pick their opponent, number two seed gets to pick their opponent, number three seed gets to pick their opponent, if that was playoff structure, which would be interesting, if you had the number one seed, there's a few teams I would pick before the Lakers.
That's all I'm saying.
Jazz, Denver,
that's all I'm saying.
Mavs. I'm looking at those three.
That's all I'm saying.
Jazz, Denver, Mavs. Maybe not Mavs. No, definitely Mavs.
I would say not three. Jazz, but I got you on.
Not Jazz.
Yeah, the Jazz. Like, the Jazz starting to get
up
healthy.
In the playoffs every year.
Yeah, they get the second round last year, right? Like, they won a series.
They lost healthy. To the Clippers in the second round, I believe.
I'd probably go Mavs Clippers.
Either way, my point is made, and fear is not rational. It's rarely is it rational. After you see a scary movie and you want to leave all the lights on in your house, you know the movie wasn't real, but you're scared of it because you saw it. It's the same thing with LeBron and AD. Like, you know that their talent or their ability is not real, but you're still going to leave them damn lights on, Alabaster.
This is a great point. Sometimes I have to cleanse after watching a scary movie at night. I'm like, let me just cleanse for a second. Let me see what's going on.
Watch something funny.
Let me see what's going on below deck.
That's what a man says. You try to hold on to your masculinity. It's like, I just need a cleanse. Just go ahead and lean
terrified.
Into it, Jacoby. You're
scared.
I'm scared. I'm scared. And I need somebody to cuddle up next to, and I'm not turning these lights off tonight.
I'm dead bolting the doors. I'm locking the windows on the second floor. I'm locking the windows on the second floor.
You and me both. I don't like scary movies.
Me neither.
Yeah, all right, guys. I don't get that point.
No, I want to talk about scary movies. What's your favorite scary movie?
We're moving
Monica?
On to another terrifying, terrifying.
You know what?
Topic.
Leprechaun. You remember Leprechauns or Leprechaun?
Leprechaun.
You don't remember
There's
that?
Many of them.
No, yeah, I don't like scary movies.
You remember when he went to the hood? Of course,
bro. Child's Play. I was at the wrong age to see Child's Play because Chucky got.
There is no right age to see Child's Play. Did you have my buddy?
My son is 8 and he wants to see Jaws. I'm like, I don't think that's going to go good for you, my guy. And you go to the beach this summer.
Jaws is also terrifying, yes.
Yeah, it's just like, I know it's not real, but you're not going to want to go swimming at the Cape next year when we go visit the family.
My parents won't go on a cruise because of the Poseidon.
Is that a movie?
The Poseidon?
The Poseidon. You know,
the god?
It's a movie when they're like, it's like kind
of
Titanic.
Brother of Zeus?
No, it's a, okay, all right, I lose.
I'm confused. Like, you think he's going to throw a trident through their cruise ship?
You're the god of the sea.
No! The cruise ship, like, capsizes.
You're gonna ride a
sea
horse? The movie. Gotcha.
Yeah, the Poseidon. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, well, I don't like going on cruises because, aside from Disney cruises, they're terrible.
Yeah, I mean, and gross and dirty, and yeah, I've never been on a cruise. I went on a Nile cruise one time, but we could see the land the whole time.
Oh, yeah, I went on a cruise once. It was a good time because all my friends were there, but man.
A river cruise is what you did.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we're ready.
Next topic. All right, we're going to play a game of If Then. I'll give you a conditional statement. You guys fill it out. First one. Ooh. If the terrifying Lakers get blown out again tonight, then blank.
Then we'll find another reason to talk about LeBron on this show. So I don't know why you give me such a hard time. I am doing your job for you, producer. I'm giving you a way to wedge LeBron and his stinky team into the show, which is what
stinky
we do
team.
Here at ESPN. We get LeBron on the screen. We talk about him as much as possible. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron should be considering shutting it down. Would be my series.
Ooh.
Then.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. So that knee starts swelling up again. He needs to see a specialist.
Yeah.
There's going to be some real good passive aggressive sub-tweety sneak dissing from LeBron James if they get blown out again. That's what I like. Like, he'll just anything. It'll be just like a little, like, he'll touch his nose to the screen or something, or wear a certain hat that one time Steve Presti wore, and that definitely means he's going to be on the Thunder next year. Like, it's going to be like deep, deep level of sub-tweeting passive aggressive disrespect from LeBron James, and you're going to need to like really go Zapruder to figure it out, and I can't wait.
Zapruder. I like that. I've never heard that pronunciation.
This team is bad.
Zapruder? I don't know.
Yeah, I've always heard Zapruder, but I like Zapruder. I'm going Zapruder. I was trying to think of like some tourist attraction in Oklahoma City that he could like wear a hat or t-shirt for. Like,
there's a Hooters.
They got a haunted hotel, I think.
Oh yeah, I remember haunted reading hotel. About a there haunted, you go. Haunted
hotel.
There you go.
Yeah, they got a haunted hotel. I mean, that's about it. And Monica.
I'm just waiting till it unfreezes. Yeah, haunted hotel. Here we go.
What you got next, Alabaster?
All right, we're moving on to the Nuggets, and there are positive reports out of Denver. Jamal Murray, who's missed the year with an ACL tear, and Michael Porter Jr., who has chronic back problems, might be back in mid-March. And our question is, if they join Nikola Jokic and this Nuggets team before the playoffs, then blank.
Then we can restart the Michael Porter Jr. injury clock. The Michael Porter Jr. injury countdown will reopen. It's sad. He's a talented player. Off the court, I have to say about him that he's a talented player, and he gets injured a lot.
Mm. Availability is the best ability.
There's a few things.
Players too much.
There's a few things. Like, these players are coming back, right? Murray. These are all superstars. Murray, Durant, Simmons, Paul, Draymond. Like, these are all – key stars, and the question is there's availability. Like, yeah, I'm available to play, but am I in shape? Can I play 40 minutes in a playoff game? Am I as effective as I used to be? And I think those questions about Murray and Porter Jr. and all the other players I named are what's going to answer who advances and who doesn't.
I will add to that too, Jacoby. I think continuity is a thing. We talk about the switch up of playoff basketball. Like, yeah, as great as Jamal Murray is, you just roll him out there and no one has to give or take or sacrifice, a la Andrew Wiggins and the return of Klay Thompson. So I just don't know if there's enough runway left to get them not only lathered up individually, but the team.
James Harden
is a very rare specimen.
I mean, I learned last Friday, I think it was, very smart basketball man taught me that you don't get better at basketball by not playing basketball. So I believe that they are not playing basketball, so they're not going to be good at basketball. They're probably really terrible, all of them. They're bad basketball players now. Monica, it's just an inside thing.
It was a callback to last Friday's show. Dominique tried to convince me there was such a great thing that Chris Paul got injured as they
Monica's
going to
be on my side.
That was
Monica's going to be on my side.
That was his spin.
I don't love it, but there is some silver lining to it.
Thank you. Monica's on my side. Because the guy who somehow gets hurt in every playoff series and wears down towards the end of most of his playoff runs gets an opportunity to rest up. Go ahead and get your injury out the way now. It's not a lower body thing. It's not a shoulder thing. It's a thumb. No big deal. He can run cardio, do all the practice stuff. He is going to be better off come the playoffs because of this injury. It's a real thing. Believe it.
I actually like that.
Thank you. There's
credence there. And he's absolutely involved 100%, like, on the bench. Like, he's totally locked in, not away from the team.
He's not doing a Kyrie when Kyrie was with the Celtics and just disappeared on that playoff run.
Sure did.
What else we got? We got anything else? Are we at the end?
One more topic. We got a football topic.
Boo.
And this is a report. And if Sean McVay really turned down $100 million from Amazon to return to the Rams, then blank.
And he likes work way more than me. I'm very confused. Did he learn nothing from Bill Cowher? Because I guess you really like your job and you like your team's chances coming up, but this is not only the best thing for your pocket, it's the best thing for your career financially. There is nothing better than a Super Bowl winning coach who then sits in a booth for a couple years. Your price goes up. I mean, however long.
He can do this for 40 more years.
I'm just saying, if he wants to get back into coaching like 2 years from now, can you imagine what Sean McVay would command if he took a couple years off? The point is, there's no downside unless you think that you're going to win the Super Bowl again this year, there's no downside to going to the booth for a few seasons.
Go ahead, Monica.
As long as they're not absolutely terrible over the next 2 years, he could command this in 2 years, no? Like, if Amazon wants you, Amazon's going to pay.
Exactly. Well, there's one thing that $100 million is one thing to say, but with most contracts that have to do with the NFL, you got to read like the fine print. Like, how many years is this $100 million spread over?
That's fair. Good point.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, five. So they're making 20 a year? Oh, no chance.
20 a year.
No chance.
No.
You can have an ear.
Money.
I'm you can have an ear and two fingers for $100 million. Like, seriously, I'm giving you an ear and two fingers, and I'll be wide awake while you chop them off. If you give me $100 million, there's very few things that I would not do for $100 million.
But Monica, things could change. So you're saying that job will still be there, but he may not be the guy in 3 years. There might be some other person who's won a couple Super Bowls. He could go 5-12 the next couple of years. All these things could change. You know what will still be there is a coaching job. Like, if he goes into the booth, one thing we've learned, when John Gruden came out of the booth for a $100 million contract after, like, not coaching for a decade plus.
That's true.
Like, there's no downside to being a successful NFL head coach and going to the booth. It just raises your value. So he must really like coaching.
Well, you said really it like right earlier, Dominique. You said it right earlier when you said he must like work, because being an NFL coach sounds like real, like, work. Oh, like, if you don't work 20-hour days, people are like, there's something wrong with that guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I heard Coach went home last night. It's like, bro, it's Wednesday. The game is on Sunday. I went home and slept for 6 hours, took a shower and came back. Like, we all know the lives of sports media. It's earmuffs, everybody. It's a lot less work than being an NFL head coach. You got a Thursday night game. You fly on Tuesday, maybe. Go to a practice on Wednesday, talk to some people, have a nice dinner at a nice restaurant in a new city, and then you fly
and charge
back
it to
Friday
the game
morning.
Like, Amazon's paying for that nice dinner.
Exactly.
You know, you can market price that thing up.
Million a year?
Guys, he could just not want to do TV too. Like, true. It's not for true. Everybody.
Oh, that's crazy. True. Oh, that's crazy.
I mean, we're
just like Jacoby said, there's a lot of things that Jacoby would not want to do. But for $100 million, you figure out, you just go, I'm going to have to live without these fingers.
You might even take my left hand. You can take my hand. No ear. No. You have the hand. No ear.
I don't get Monica. I don't understand how you are trying to argue on the other side of this. It makes clear sense to
me. Because money isn't everything, guys.
True. Agreed. It helps.
I thought my internet was going to stop there.
Self-care, lifestyle, passion. For the game.
But y'all also did the math too. Like, you act like he's poor. Like,
that's fair. I get it. Oh, no. I understand.
Oh, I'll never do the if you make $10 million, you're good. You don't need $20 million thing.
ask somebody who makes $10 million a year. They believe that they need to find 20. A way to get to 20. Yeah. Like, it's a sickness that can't be cured. And Sean McVay is, I guess that's the argument for it, is he is refusing to give into this, but he used this as leverage to get some more money out of the Rams. So somebody cares about it. I mean, as someone who had to sit through a few minutes of like remodeling talk around my house this morning, like, I recognize Sean McVay, you need to go ahead and get that money, get that 100 mil, slot a couple this way. So we can.
Well, one thing they're not doing is when he scored 10 points against Belichick and lost in the Super Bowl, no one was checking for him then. You know what I mean? So when the market's hot, You got to make some kind of move. So whether he's getting more money from the Rams or he's getting a gang of money from Amazon, like, now is the time, Mr. McVay. Because you can start the season 0-4 next year, and all of a sudden these opportunities, the agent ain't picking up your phone call anymore.
You think that they're going to give you $200 million if you win the Super Bowl next year? No. They still got that $100 million deal still going to be there.
But he will have won the Super Bowl again, and that's what makes him happy.
Does he? I mean, so that's another misnomer. The word happy in coaches doesn't match.
I was about to say the same thing. I don't think I've ever seen an NFL head coach happy.
No.
Well, Sean McVay, remember when he runs down the sideline and does all that? Dick Vermeil comes to mind because of all the crying after winning. But I don't look at NFL coaches and say that, God, that guy's a joyous human being with just a je ne sais quoi, joie de vivre.
You got French on him? Yeah. I think for the 2 hours after they won the Super Bowl, maybe even that whole day, that whole evening, he was probably happy. He's not happy anymore.
He's watched it. Now he's watching the tape of the Super Bowl thing.
Okay. He's headed to the combine. He's about to eat some St. Elmo's shrimp. The man ain't happy.
The shrimp is so good. I submit to you, maybe he wants to compete.
Ain't good. You don't get good shrimp in Indianapolis.
That shrimp is good. It's the sauce. The
St. Elmo's is hot. Like, maybe he enjoys the competition versus being on the sideline. Like,
you need to stop it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I want to talk about how St. Elmo's shrimp is good relative to the rest of the shrimp in Indianapolis. As in New York, are you like clamoring to get to St. Elmo's to get shrimp, Jacoby? You could get shrimp as good as St. Elmo's shrimp in New York, a ton of different places. Let's not act like St. Elmo's shrimp.
It's the sauce.
Sauce. That is the best shrimp cocktail I've ever had in my life. And yes,
all it is more horseradish, guys. You could make it at home.
You know, one thing I'm not doing though is we've all seen this one when you go to the grocery store and they're like, if you would like 1,000 pieces of shrimp on ice here, it's only $14.99. I'm like, no. I'm not inviting people over my house and breaking out this plastic tray of shrimp that cost me $9. If you charge me $100 for it, I'm more likely to buy it than when you charge me $9 for 100 pieces of shrimp cocktail.
That's a tray of laxative. That's all that is. Mm-hmm. Just a tray of laxative. I ain't messing with that.
Alabaster ain't even interjecting anymore. He just let
It's okay. That was much better than my interjection. We do have a bonus tweet to end the show, though. And this is actually a tweet that Dominique Foxworth sent out during the show. And I guess it's just an update on an old tweet. And it says, Micah Parsons and the Lakers are terrifying.
So much fun. Nice, great callbacks.
That's gold.
Outstanding. I erased that tweet. I erased all my old tweets, honestly.
It's probably good.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's probably good.
3 months ago, it's the last tweet I had.
The Lakers are not terrifying.
Gone. Yeah, they're not, but they're not fine.
They are terrifying in a different way.
For Leprechaun is terrifying. Have you seen it? Monica, go watch the movie Leprechaun.
You're not keeping me.
You know what gets me? Exorcist. Exorcist gets me because anything that says based on a true story, whether it's true or not, when you say based on a true story, those are the ones that keep me up at night.
The Blair Exorcist Witch. Is horrifying. Blair Witch. We watched it every year on Halloween.
Blair Witch is not, no spoilers. I went to Blair Witch with a friend and I told him before we went to the movie theater, I was like, this is all actual found footage. I was like, bro, this is a documentary. And he lost his mind.
I think they afterwards filmed it.
Bro, I was just kidding. It's not real.
We kind of believed it was real footage, and they filmed it in Maryland where I grew up. So Blair Witch, that messed me up for a little bit, for a couple weeks there.
No scary movies here. Everybody go watch
Chris,
the Lion
Chris
King.
Rock's joke. They're like, they made that movie for $10,000. He's like, where'd the other $9,000 go? They spent it on shrimp cocktail.
Watch Leprechaun Goes to the Hood. It'll make you angry and scared at the same time.
Scangry?
Gangry. Yes.
That's a new thing. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, y'all. Work on my internet.
Bye.
It's working now.
I know.
Once we start talking about scary movies, the connection's
super
great.
Moody.